No exaggeration, one of the best episodes yet with Mario the Magician.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
For real, I'm so glad you clicked on this because no matter what you do, you're going to get some awesome advice and tips as Mario talks about some of his amazing things that he's been creating and how he uses his creations and his ideas in his brain to make things that can inspire young people and old people. Or, as he is often described more elegantly, as a magician for the young and young at heart. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This is Mario the Magician.
My name is Mario Marchese. I go by Mario the Magician for work. I'm a children's family entertainer. I specialize in performing magic, and I specialize in making my magic. A lot of my magic is kind of my artwork, so I build almost everything that I show for my show. And I guess my purpose, I feel, is to encourage kids, especially elementary age, to make rather than to buy. So a lot of kids after my show ask me, you know, how did you make this? You know, and I love to explain how I use simple everyday objects that you can get at home and books or things like that that you can go online and make yourself. You know, so that's kind of like a little quick sum of what I do.
Yeah, and we'll get into this, I think, a lot more as we go. But what are some of the pieces of like the bigger projects that you've actually created, not just for your magic show, but for, you know, things in general?
I've built a John Smith 20-note busker crank organ that took about 5 weeks of labor. I ordered the plans online from England. The famous John Smith in England, he was a master organ builder, and he had a dream to bring the organ to like the everyday household because organs are so expensive. So he made plans so that any man or woman can build, you know, an organ on the cheap, you know, but not just any organ, like a very high quality one. And so that's something I was very excited about because I love street performing, and the crank organ is a symbol of street performing to me. So that's something outside of the magic. And I think that's when I met you, Chris. I think I was using that.
Yeah, that was what I wanted you. That was what I was hoping you would mention because I wanted to bring that up. And I wasn't sure quite what it was called. I didn't want to sound like an idiot and call it something wrong.
No, it's all good. It's actually it's right back there in that corner there. Yeah.
Cool. So people might not quite understand what we're talking about. So you'll send me a photo, and there'll be a photo on my blog when this gets posted that people can look at.
Oh,
it.
Oh, that'd be great.
I don't know if you have any video of it. Maybe
I
can post that. Yeah,
cool. I do have a couple YouTube videos of me. I was punching my own music. So actually, I punched one of my favorite punk rock songs by this band called NoFX called Linoleum. And it was really fun because I don't think there's any punk songs ever hand-punched on a crank organ, so it was cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely post that if you guys are listening somewhere else besides my blog. Go over to my blog and check that out.
Cool.
And you can see videos and photos of that, and I'm sure we'll be talking about other things that will be linked over there throughout. And besides hand-making things, you're into 3D printing things?
Yes. 3D printing is an very important part of my life, definitely.
Talk about some of the things that you've done, and how did you transition from kind of hand-making things into the technology side, the newer technology side of doing that?
Right. You know, in my 20s, I was doing a lot of kid shows, but I used a lot of the traditional props that you would buy, like the Stratosphere and the Hippity Hop Rabbits, and I was making artwork because I got into programming. There's this thing called the Arduino. It's a lot very mainstream now, but in 2005, 2006, it just got introduced into America. But anyway, it's a little thing that's about this, you know, it's like a little device. It's about the size of a playing card, and it's a microcontroller. Basically, you program from your computer how to make motors move. So what happens is before this, you'd have to learn about capacitors and resistors and you'd have to learn about intricate circuitry just to make a motor move forward and backwards, okay? And so what the microcontroller did was it eliminated that. Now you can use code to make that motor move forward and backward, and it opens the doors to a lot of people like me that's not into electronics to get into electronics. And so I was making a lot of machines and like drawing machines that would change their drawing as based on different levels of sound. And I never adapted it into my show until like years later. But anyway, that's how the ball started rolling with the electronic stuff. And, you know, eventually I, you know, my wife, Katie, was like, dude, you have all this art stuff that you put in galleries. You never make a penny, you know, like you do all these kid shows, you know, you need to figure out how to fuse those two together. And, it was definitely an important time in my life figuring out how do I make electronics funny and entertaining, you know?
Yeah, and now you mentioned a couple times about performing for at kids' shows and kind of inspiring kids and younger people. How did you – so most magicians start out performing for kids, and then as soon as they possibly can, get out of it. And, you know, the goal is to stop doing kids' shows as soon as possible, and it seems that you've found that's where you're – you know, that's where you're staying. That's where you're happy. That's where you're happy creating these things. Now, how did that come about? Did you ever want to leave, but you got, you know, you found your little piece, your little spot there that you, how did that, I don't know, that sounds like, I don't, obviously I'm trying to dance around my words because I don't want to say that.
Everything you're saying right now is golden to me because you're hitting a crux of this kind of our industry, of magic industry, you know. I went into my goal in my 20s. All I cared about was to pay my rent doing what I love. That's all I cared about, you know? And I spent a lot of that time traveling. I spent a lot of that time hitchhiking. I spent a lot of that time squatting in West Philly. You know, I spent a lot of that time doing silly things, refusing to be part of the system, you know? And magic, when I got into magic, I went to a magic club. Everyone was over 60. I was the only guy. There's like two other guys that were like in their early 20s, you know, and they just kind of guided me. And it was the first time in my life I saw older people happy with themselves, acting like kids and laughing. It made me feel like it was okay to grow old, you know, and that kind of really hit me hard. And they started guiding me, and I realized, wow, if I do kids shows, I make money. Like, if I don't, I make no money. If I try to do adults and be Copperfield or Chris Angel, you know, it doesn't work, especially for me, because I was, like, such a lost boy, you know, where I didn't want to grow up. And but anyway, it was hard, because I think it's a, you know, you go to magic conventions and stuff, you get looked down upon with kids' entertainment. You know, people are like, oh, you know, he's a kids' magician, you know. So what I'm trying to say is that I reached a point in my life where I was taking kid shows from every magician around me, and I worked for an agency, and for the first 2 years, it was really hard. I surrendered myself, but I surrendered it because I was starting to pay my rent doing what I love, just like what I wanted to in my 20s. And it's really funny because the very thing that I was hating and that I was suffering through became the very thing that I'm obsessed with and I love more than anything now, you know? And I think that's a very important part in life in any direction you go. You know, it's like the food that tastes bad is always the stuff that's good for you, you know? You know, it's like everything that you don't want to do is probably the things that you should be doing, you know? And I think that was one of those lessons that I really talked. Because now I found my voice because I still do my artwork. And now I do it in a way where I know that it's benefiting kids that are now 13, 14 that saw me when they were 6. And they're like, dude, I'm making stuff, you know? Like, damn, you know? And I'm like, wow, like that alone is worth the suffering, you know? So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. And as far as that, like you said, the things that you kind of initially don't want to do are often the most important things. And yeah. You know, I've been kind of thinking about those things a lot. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody about it, and they were talking about how, you know, motivational speakers and these inspirational speakers and stuff always talk about, oh, you can have a Ferrari, you can do this, you can do this, and all this stuff. And it's like kind of refreshing to talk, especially performers and people who are creative artists and whatever, kind of have this other side of it that you have to be kind of crappy and do crappy things for a while. And yeah. Then, you know, then it kind of works.
Right.
And a lot of the, you know, inspirational books and everything that you read about are just, they kind of skip that part, that there's work involved.
I think our whole mainstream society skips that every day, you know, every advertisement, every reality show, it's like every, like, you know, overnight success, it's like 10 years of wars that they face just to get that one song on that radio station, you know, it's like, you know, we just, in American society, I feel like we're so hungry to have everything now, you know? And it's really sad because I see a lot of kids in their, you know, 19, 20, 21 facing these wars that they probably wouldn't have faced if they were growing up in the 50s and 60s or something. I don't know, because I just feel like it's so just in your face everywhere because of media. Like, it's work, man. You know how it is. I follow you on Instagram. You know, it's work, dude. You perform for cafeterias and colleges, then you're performing in these stadiums. You know, it's like, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah. And something, again, to touch on that before we bounce on to something else is like, there's an edit point. Man, podcasts are awesome. You can just lose your train of thought and you don't care because you just chop it right out.
I love that you're doing these things. You know, when I saw your list of all the different performers, it's just so good because you're recording history, you know? You're recording history of voices that probably would be forgotten, you know? So, like, you're making things important that should be important. And that's why when we saw that, we shared, you know, some of your links and stuff. So, you're definitely inspiring us, man, you know, without a doubt.
Cool. So, what my initial thought there was, going back to the instant overnight success, you know, people, especially, I think, the younger people, especially, see shows like, you know, America's Got Talent or The Voice or American Idol and see, like, that's the goal. Like, oh, if I'm 17 years old, I get on The Voice, I'm going to be on TV, and then that's my ticket. And I know, like, you know, I know people personally who are on The Voice.
Right.
And it was, like, you know, awesome, but it's not, like, the ticket to go. Even if you win, like, you know, who won last year? I have no idea.
Right. Right. No, yeah, you're nailing it, dude. I mean, you're nailing it. I mean, it's like, I don't know who I heard recently. I don't know if it was Billy Joel or someone that was saying how, like, he just, like, you know, one of the first times he sold out at Madison Square Garden, like, and he's just performing to this huge ocean of people, you know, rocking out. And then when it's over, he just walks to a diner by himself and just sits and eat a meal. And no one says hi to him. Because at the end of the day, you're sleeping, you know, you're dealing with yourself. That's it. You know, like, all that stuff is momentary. Everything is temporary, you know. You need to find, you know, and that's the other thing. What the hell is making it? What does that mean? You know, what? That people are tweeting you 1,000 times or you got 100,000 followers on Instagram? Who cares? Like, you know, it's about love. It's about giving more than receiving. I know it sounds cliche, but it's just about love, man. It's about, like, helping people. You know, the reason why I'm where I am now, because I can barely make it and I'm paying my bills and I'm doing this, is because of all the people that said, you know what, damn it, man. Maybe he's not the greatest magician, but he works his tail off and he's sweating like crazy and he loves what the hell he does. That's why I'm recommending him. You know, I remember those times, you know. It's like, we want to, you know, it's like, that's, you know, that's what it's about. It's kind of just, you know, it's helping those that are trying, you know, helping those that are trying, right? And that are sincerely trying, not trying because they're trying to find some type of temporary thing, you know, but they're trying because they're trying to really make it. And that means find happiness, find tranquility, find peace at night so they can fall asleep, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to, you know. It's really sad that our society is so skewed about what success is, you know. You know what success is to me? It's having two children, having a 3.5-year-old and teaching her what resistors do in electricity and how she tells me it slows down, you know, that I'm in control finally, where I can, like, give back in a way where, like, I can't wait to see what she's going to make when she's 5 and 6, you know? It's about getting to that point. And thank God, thank the universe, and thank the people that got me this far, you know, family and friends. So, yeah, and the reason why I'm saying this and I'm so passionate about it, Chris, is because I see people in my life, especially family that is a lot younger than me, and they're struggling trying to find out, like, what the hell are they supposed to do at 20 years old? You're not supposed to know, you know? Like, you're just supposed to do, you know? Like, you know, you just, what's important is that you keep your hands busy, that you're always thinking about the next project, you know, whatever it is. But that stuff will lead you there, you know? Anyway, you'll get me started on a rant. Sorry about that. those are the things that are important to me, you know?
Yeah, and you kind of hit there, you said, what is making it? You know, what is this moment of, you know, hitting success or whatever? Now, is there something for you? I know, like you kind of just said it, how goals changing and there's always evolving and adapting and, you know, you kind of touched what, you know, being a success to you means. But is there some mountain peak that you see that you're trying to get to that once you get there, you'll feel like you really you made it, so to speak?
When you said that, the thought that came in my head was like, God, if I make it to like at 57 years old, you know, doing flea markets, selling a bunch of old radios and sitting back and smoking a cigar, you know, that's making it to me where I can do that and not worry about if selling anything, you know? Because, you know, or like sitting in Union Square and sitting on a crate and playing chess all day because I feel like it, right? And just giving, you know, like, that's making it to me. I have projects. Like, I worked on a car for 12 months of my life. I restored a 67 Volkswagen Beetle. I built a kit car. It's called the Bradley GT. You know, like, I just don't ever want to be afraid of trying something new. That's why I bring that up, you know? Because learning stuff about how a Volkswagen engine works adapted to the magic, you know? Because every piston that shoots and every spark plug that fires creates a rhythm, like a drum roll, you know? And like, I was starting to think like that when I was doing my show, like how to be continuous, yet separate. I know it sounds crazy and abstract, but like, everything is connected, right? And I guess that's what it was in my 20s too, is just not being afraid of just always learning, don't matter what direction you're going in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's such a funny, as an entertainer, as someone who is in front of people wanting attention and wanting people to pay attention and listen to what you have to say, it's such a funny thing for you to say, like, making it is completely stepping away from that and kind of being being a non, celebrity person.
Right.
And that's kind of interesting how I think, and that's how you're very unique in that. I think almost everyone that was an entertainer would say, you know, the goal would be a bigger show with more people watching, not less people watching, not being the flea market guy.
Well, I have a suitcase that I bought in Lake Placid about 7 years ago. It's very small. It's big, but I built my whole show the past 7 years to fit everything in this suitcase, you know, because for me, the ultimate goal is to show up at a boardwalk in a tourist city and set up all my battery powered machines and blow people's minds out. Like, what the, you know, like mechanical monkeys, you know, lampshades that move, you know, like, and then just put it all back in the suitcase and then just leave, right? Like, leave this, like, fire, this big, like, just fire of a moment where they're like, he made everything. Where the hell did he go? And where did he, you know, my wife talks about this Charlie Chaplin guy in Florence, Italy, that she used to see. And, like, he just dressed as Charlie Chaplin, and all he did was play with balloon animals. But he had everyone in tears, laughing and crying in joy, like, feeling like little kids. And then he would just disappear. And nobody knew what his real name was, what his hashtag was, what his Instagram account was. But that's what made it even more amazing. Because she always brings it up, and I bet there's thousands of people that do that too, you know?
Yeah. There was a guy, same thing, I forget his name, I only saw him on YouTube, and that reminded me of this. He, at the end of his show, he has it's like a one-man circus, but he builds his own tent, he drives his own tractor trailer, nice. Sets up his own tent with like the community people that come out and help him.
Yeah.
And he does this whole thing. He shoots himself out of a cannon, and it's like he literally goes into the cannon, like reaches out with like the lighter and lights the fuse, and it shoots him out, and he catches onto a rope. It's amazing. I have to remember
That's
his
so
name.
So awesome.
And at the end of the show, he does a tight wire walk, and he walks out the wire. And then the wire goes up above the crowd, and then there's a little doorway at the top of the tent, a little flap that opens up, and he runs his wire like out above, like wherever he's at, like the carnival, like the fairgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walks out the tent, and he peeks his head back in. He waves to everybody, come outside. And then he walks into the sky. And he's walking above the people, and people are looking up. And he has this one moment at the end of this. It's like a little mini documentary that talked about what his thing are. And he says he says something about like walking into the heavens. And he said if he had it his way, he would just keep walking until he disappeared.
Damn. That's what I'm talking about.
And when he says, you got that even of my stupid fumbling words over it. But like when he says it, he's like, he really, you know, and you're just like, wow, you know, imagine that show. Where
well,
this
isn't
guy
that magic?
Walks.
Yeah, isn't that magic? You know? No, you know, like no double lift, no, you know, like no billiard ball that multiplies. The magic is, I felt it, and you're not even him, you know? Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the magic I want to live in forever, you know? Like, like creating that moment. It doesn't happen every show, you know? But when it happens to one or two kids, you know? But when I see it, I know it because that happened to me. You know, that's how I got into magic, because of Rick Merrill. He's a magician in Michigan who won close-up magic. You know, he won FISM. But before he won that, I happened to be at a VF hall at Colon, Michigan, and he did this card trick where the card always appeared under the case, and he did it so many times I wanted to puke because reality was so skewed. Like, I couldn't believe I was alive and breathing what I was seeing, you know? And I just love... Everyone has a certain way of giving that imagination, you know, and that was Rick Merrill's way. And look how it affected my life. Like, that's what I do for a living now, for moments like that, you know. So yeah, man, that's a beautiful story, Chris. That definitely is awesome. You know, I feel that.
As you, you know, keep working and kind of keep hustling and kind of creating new things, how do you keep the steam rolling with things without getting burnt out or tired of things or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're nailing a great question. It's kind of like, you know, when you ride a bike, you never forget how to. It's the opposite with that. You know, it's like I forget all the time how to get the steam rolling, but somehow, somewhere, something sparks something, and then I'm back rolling again. Like right now, I'm building this new machine. I don't want to say what it is because it's not in my show yet. But I, there's so much problem solving going on that in my head, in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, if I wake up, it gives me peace because I just imagine the pieces in my head, how different ways of how to solve whatever I'm at in this project. But now I kind of finished it. So last night when I'm trying to sleep, I couldn't sleep because there was nothing for me to solve, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm not worried. I think the big part is like just not worrying, you know, like not caring, like having faith in your outside of your body, that because you're living in truth and you're trying your best to live in truth, that truth will come to you, you know, the next step. Like what drives me to make my next project is something that doesn't exist yet. Like hand punching a NoFX song. That doesn't exist. So hell yeah, I'm going to sit there for 2 days with a freaking hole punch and an X-Acto knife. That's the drive. I mean, if there was another guy that did 10 of them, I would never have the drive, you know. For example, what I'm working on now, I do this coin routine. I've done it for 8 years. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I need to make my own coins. I'm tired of all these like half dollars and jumbo halves. So right now, I made 3D printed molds of 3D printed coins. And then I made molds of them in silicone. And I poured pewter into the molds. And now I have like ginormous, you know, now I have the whole routine all in pewter coins. And it feels so good because even though I didn't have a new project idea, at least I'm still building in my show, you know, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I'll screenshot that and again post that on the blog so you guys, he just showed it to me and
yeah.
I know that a podcast isn't the best.
Right. Yeah, so they're all, you know, they're just custom coins that I wrote.
Yeah, well, so guys, check that out on the blog. You can see a photo of those things that that you made. What do you think of all these things that you've built and created and moments that you've created for people? What do you think your biggest accomplishment has been?
Wow, that's a really good question. being on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
I mean, I get teary-eyed just thinking about it, you know, because I get emotional thinking about it because it's the only kind of television I respect, you know. It's like I'm such a huge fan of Mr. Rogers because he didn't go on TV because he wanted to be famous. He went on TV because he was pissed as hell at what kids were watching, you know? And you know, people like Mr. Rogers where he's like, I'm going to start a TV show so these kids, when they grow up, have a better chance of succeeding in the right direction instead of watching crap. And to the point where Mr. Rogers, you know, when the VHS got invented, it was illegal to, like, tape TV shows, you know? It was because of Mr. Rogers that took it to the Supreme Court and said, this has got to stop because the only way kids learn is by rewatching stuff, you know? And like the fact that he just was so passionate and he caused change that affected my life, things like Sesame Street are fruits of that. So being on Sesame Street, even, you know, just for that one episode, was like a big climactic thing to me, you know, because, I don't know, because I got to share, it was like the universe saying to me, all right, here you go, like, all right, you got this far, dude. Here's kind of like your diploma, you know? Like, it just felt like that for a moment, you know? So, yeah, that was definitely the top of the cake for me.
So let's spin that to the other side. What is something that you really had high hopes for but was a big letdown for something that you thought was going to be awesome and didn't quite work out the way you wanted to?
Not to
take away all the steam.
No. This is good because I don't know. There were times in my life where I thought that I wanted to do certain things, but they were not things that I really wanted. It was just things I thought I wanted. Like, you know, I wanted to do some type of kids TV show and think of different, how would I have a kids TV show and all this stuff. And I just realized it was before I started really making my own props and stuff, I was thinking the people that want to, you were describing, getting on The Voice, that's going to be the answer, Mm-hmm. All that was a step to the answer, because the answer isn't, there is no stop, because it's just a step. You just always keep climbing, And I know people in our local town community that are very successful artists that have, are just really successful that have, but yet even them are we got this one big corporate client, and I'm high-fiving my wife thinking that this is it, man, but it's not, because once that client is done, what are you going to do? I mean, this is, so I'm just, even looking at people 20 years older than me or 15 years older than me, it's a very important thing to realize that the answer isn't something that you just get to and you sit and enjoy, and it sounds sad, it sounds depressing, but it's not, because the point of life really is the journey, and it's, and the point of life to me is making that next generation of kids feel okay to be part of that journey, because it's a terrifying thing to turn into an adult, It's a terrifying thing when you get your first apartment and you got to figure what the hell you got to do with the rest of your life, So if I can be part of that piece for someone, that makes sense to me,
Yeah, and you kind of have touched on it a few times indirectly, but one sentence, how do you want them to remember you? How do they want you to speak of you?
Oh, man. Well, you're scaring me with these questions, dude. You're scaring me. All right, I guess...
Well, I won't limit it to one sentence. That's like a very limiting thing.
No, I don't know. I guess I don't want to, I don't want to sound cliche either. I don't know. I guess I don't know what I want.
I think a lot of those other ones, we can skip that.
Yeah,
I think
that's a heavy question. I got to think about that.
What you talked about before, touched on it. I didn't know if you wanted to open it up more. But
right. But I think, exactly. And that's the truth, and that's something I've realized as I've gotten older and having children myself is really, just here's somebody that paved a way. Here's someone that made it work, doing what he loves. He made it work, and not meaning in a way that's oh God, I don't have to go to college or, because Mario, well, no, in a way that I just want kids to know that there's other options, that a magician is just as valuable as a lawyer, just as valuable as anyone else in society. We have this thing where a lawyer is this high, or a doctor, and are these climactic positions in life. It's not true. The pizza guy who's making pizza right now is feeding those doctors and lawyers, So don't tell me he's not as important. The guy who picks up your trash, he's picking it up, because if it just sits there all the time, you can't be a doctor and fix that, You need garbage trucks and you need things to work, So we're all in this together kind of thing, and everyone is valuable, And sometimes I feel like in my trade, we don't get that respect, and that's okay. But I want to be part of that where I can make it respectable, And if I did that, then damn, man, then it was worth it, right?
Tell me a little bit more about the movie.
Oh, the documentary, Building Magic. Yeah, we just had a screening last night, a private screening that we're doing for the community. And we're doing another one, one more just for people like Kickstarter rewards and stuff like that. Oh, dude, it was awesome, man. We raised $36,000 on Kickstarter, It was this insane thing. We filmed for a year and a half, and it was really cool. Cal, the director and filmmaker, we became really close because, he was literally here all the time. And we have, I don't know how many hours of footage. And we've been submitting to, we submitted to all the big festivals this year, like South by Southwest, Tribeca, Sundance. Cannes, all these ridiculous huge festivals. And the reason why we do that is the first year, if we get into one of those, they require exclusivity. So that means if we get in, we can't submit to other ones. So we wait a year, and if we get in, that would be insane, amazing. And then if not, starting September, we submit to the rest of the festivals that don't care, And I think that's where I'm going to have the most fun, is going to different festivals, whichever ones I hope we get into. And So yeah, it's been really good. We got a lot of great positive reactions to the, from the community, and it's cool. The film is definitely, you know, it's building magic, but I mean, it's really just about coming from turning 18, you know, to how did we figure this out to make this into a living kind of thing and having a family. And it's a really fun journey to watch, you know. It is kind of weird and freaky seeing it myself. I can't really sit through it when we're doing the screenings, but it's cool, you know. It's really exciting, you know.
Cool, that's cool. So us in the public, when will we have access to see some of this?
Right, great question. I'm hoping starting September we can start whatever festivals we get in. So if we get into one that's in a certain city, we're going to promote the crap out of it in hopes that people will come out. And then eventually, I guess our goal is hoping to get it licensed somewhere, whether it's, you know, whatever. Definitely starting September. Well, you know, we'll see what happens, what festivals we're in. But we have 2-year period. So there's a 2-year film festival period that we got to fulfill in hopes to get this into somewhere somehow. And it's nerve-wracking. It's a whole other performance. I mean, you know, you spend 8 years of your life doing a magic show, and then all of a sudden now, you know, it's about your life personally, you know, have nothing to do with magic in a sense. And so it was definitely weird, you know, it was definitely, but it's exciting. It's very exciting.
We can kind of wrap up here. I always like to end with asking people what their advice is, or tips, or kind of words of wisdom to young people and old people that are trying to create their own thing, you know, create their own world, and kind of take-home message that you've learned that you could share with the listeners.
Yeah, I guess if there's one thing I've learned is that, you know, to I don't know, I just I. Like, for, I'll give you an example. Like, when I was in college, I felt like being a hairstylist, and I never picked up a pair of scissors and cut people's hair. And I just did it, you know, because I just felt like it. And then, like, I cut someone's hair, and I did a kind of good job. So someone, one of the students was like, oh, yeah, Mario cuts hair. And then I started cutting hair for, like, 6 months, you know. And the reason why I say that is because I think that was the one thing that works for me, is not being afraid to try something, even though it has nothing to do with anything that what you really want, maybe, or whatever. But I'm just saying, like I said, I restored a car for 13 months. It has nothing to do with magic. But I learned so much about magic, because I learned about different ways I can use auto parts into my magic show. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm just saying, have faith in the universe. Have faith in the unseen, you know, because when you're trying, that's all that matters. And I mean sincerely trying, you know. And so like I said, even stuff with electronics, I got into electronics not having anything to do with magic, you know. And now it's an integral part of my whole show, you know, is my custom-made machines and stuff that, you know, that don't work and fall apart. And, you know, it's so much fun because I feel like I've found my voice with that. And I would have never found my voice if I didn't take those risks of building and learning things that had were at the time thought had nothing to do with what I really wanted. But in the end, it had everything to do with it.
It really doesn't get much better than that. I just listened back to this and was pretty much blown away by some of the topics and things that came up while Mario was talking about the things that he does. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in. If you know anyone who might be inspired or get something from this talk, be sure to share it with them. It's easy to share the link either through my website, or if you're listening to this on iTunes, you can share the iTunes link. And we talked about some of the things that Mario was talking about, but we couldn't see. So if you're not listening to this on my blog, check out the blog. It's chrisruggiero.com/blogs with an S. And of course, you can always catch up to these episodes, previous episodes on chrisruggiero.com/podcast, or of course on iTunes under the Chris Ruggiero podcast. So thanks again and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.